Sweet. Awesome. Good to see you guys this morning. Thanks for having me. Woo! anyways, cool. So, check this out. I'm using an iPad now, huh? Yeah, it only took 5 years. So, yeah, well, I'm trying to figure it out. I haven't figured it out all the way, or I would have used it for worship too instead of printing off my song sheets. Yeah, awesome. Cool. So I want to talk a little bit about XA first, and just what I do and how I do it. So I'm going to give you guys the, if I have, I'm just kidding, I don't have a PowerPoint or anything. My name's Caleb Murray, for those of you who don't know or didn't hear Lisa when she said it earlier. I work for Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship at Marshall University. So, it's, yeah, go her. We are. All right, nice. Let's go. Cool. They play that movie now 24/7 in the Student Center. So if you guys have never seen it and you want to make a 5-hour trip to Huntington, you can watch the movie for free. But yeah, so I work for Chi Alpha Marshall University and for a campus ministry. So part of the church on campus, right? We are the church, but there's a part that's on college campuses called Chi Alpha. And we basically, we minister to college students, right? Reconcile students or help with the process, right, of bringing students to know Jesus, right? So we can transform the university, the marketplace, and the world, right? That's Chi Alpha's tagline. When I started a couple years ago, God said, just love the crap out of them, right? And so that's what I've tried to do, right? And I've learned how to do that and how not to do that and, how to minister to college students, how to, even though I was, 1 year older than them at the start, some of them. But God has really taught me a lot, right, not of just campus ministry, but really about who I am and really was formative for my faith and developing into – yeah, the guy you see here. What we do in Chi Alpha, it's kind of hard to explain sometimes, and I was talking to a student of mine the other day. I was at his apartment, and I honestly can't remember why I was there. I think I meet up with students throughout the week, one-on-one sometimes, I was probably just like getting coffee or something. Anyway, so he's making coffee, and we're talking, and the conversation starts about homecoming. And then it, goes to girls, and then it goes to, like, the meaning of life and other, questions of that and things of that nature. And he stopped, and he said, man, how do I explain this to people, right? How do I explain this? And I said, and we were talking about it. Because people ask him all the time what Chi Alpha is and what we do and stuff. Didn't come in? Okay. And people ask that question, and I'm supposed to explain that to people as well. And so we're talking about it, and really what it is it's a community of people who love God and love people, and we disciple others to do the same, right? And so Jesus says a couple things in his ministry, right? Just a few. actually, John says if we wrote down everything, we wouldn't have enough room to write down everything that he said and did. But he says some pretty important things that, that I think we should tune into. And he says the greatest commandment, people ask him, what's the greatest commandment? He says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, with all your might, love your neighbor as yourself. And then later on, he says, a new commandment I give you, love them as I have loved you, right? So you must love one another, right? And so we try to do that, right? We try to love people like Jesus loved them, right? And then we try to teach them how to do that to others, right? And so college ministry is super quick, right? You got 4 years maybe. Hopefully they don't fail out or transfer. and so it's constantly changing, and we're constantly meeting new people and reaching out and doing things like that. And so I am a full-time missionary, and so I work for Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship, the national Chi Alpha. I work for them full time. Part of my job description is fundraising for my position, right? And so because college ministry is so transitional and so overturning, and college students, I'm ministering to primarily college students, I have to raise funds for my position. And so if you're interested in that, or you have a heart for college ministry, if you want to partner with me in that, you can talk to me afterwards. Or if you know somebody that would like to partner with me in that, you can talk to me afterwards, and I'll get you set up on that, and you can be a part of what we're doing on Marshall's campus. But the thing about it is, too, and yes, I need financial support, but for my job. But I also, and I don't diminish this one bit, and I try to emphasize this every time I talk to people about this, is prayer. It sounds like a churchy thing to say, or like, oh, he has to say prayer, you know, or something like that. But man, prayer is powerful, right? The reason that these things are happening on Marshall's campus, the reason this has been one of our best years yet, even though we're in the midst of a pandemic, is because I have people that are praying for me and praying for the ministry at Marshall, right? That I say, please don't let any more people, get COVID, right? Nobody else gets COVID, right? Right? And please, God, and I'm asking people, please would you pray that God would raise up leader. God raises up leaders. Right? God, please would you bring, would you raise up female leaders, right? Because we had a shortage of those, right? And now the girls in Chi Alpha probably outnumber the guys, which is good for the guys. But but prayer is powerful, right? That's the only way that we're gonna do what God has called us to do. Amen. Right? Praying for the ministry, praying for students, praying for me. and so I want to invite you guys to pray with me, right, and pray for the ministry of Marshall University as well, and partner with me in that. And so today, I want to talk about a few things. Let me pray real quick. God, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you for just the people that are here, God. And hopefully, Lord, that you would, that they would hear what you'd have to say today, God. That, God, you would open up our hearts to hear what you have to say. God, that you would use me to speak what you have to speak. Lord, that it would be good. God, that it would be transformative. Lord, that it would be, life-giving, God. God, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look at that. So today I wanted to talk a little bit. I'm just going to talk short, maybe. I say that, and Brooke shakes her head or rolls her eyes, because the longer you preach, the more time you want. Anyways, when I was little, I couldn't get it past 3 minutes, preaching. I read one scripture, and now I can't shut up. So, and here I go. I keep rambling already. So I'm going to talk today about Lazarus, right? And just briefly, and I'm going to talk about some other things. And what's so cool about the story is it shows me how much Jesus cares for people that he doesn't really know that well, or he doesn't seem to know that well, right? Lazarus mentioned like once, twice in scripture, right? And he raises him from the dead after meeting his sisters just a little bit beforehand and going to their house and eating and stuff. And so it's not like Lazarus is one of his disciples or something like that, right? But what the story shows is just how much he cares for people, right? That he seems to not know that well, but in reality he knows them before they were ever even born, right? And so I really like that. And the reason I want to talk about this today, and a few other things, and just kind of meeting people where they're at is, I'm not saying it to like sky is falling kind of thing, but just as a reality, this is a tumultuous time that we live in, right? For a plethora of reasons, and so how do we minister? How do we serve? How do we, right? Because ministry, just means serving, right? Right? If you're serving, you're a minister of the gospel, right? That man, ministry is service, and and you see that in people that you're like, man, she's the sweetest lady or the sweetest man, or he's just so good or she's just so good. Man, that's a service to the Lord, right? People serving. Anyways, and so how do we serve? How do we minister to people, right, in this time period? Because it's so tumultuous, right? COVID, elections, whatever, crazy stuff. And then on the other hand, it's a holiday season, right? So also tumultuous for, weird reasons. And, whether it be family that you don't necessarily get along with, or maybe you're like, what do we do this year? It's weird, right? A lot of reasons for it to be crazy and for us to be hesitant and for us to be some kind of division between us and between people and stuff. Right, campus ministry itself, right, is why I want to talk about this, right? Because part of what I do is, right, I go out and I meet somebody, right, where they're at, whether it's, in the dining hall or by the student center or, at some event or some, food place or whatever, and I meet them right where they're at. And then hopefully I get to know them, right? And hopefully I get for them to get to know me, right? That we build a friendship and I teach them about Jesus, right? And or I connect them to another leader and they help them or just somebody in Chi Alpha that they connect with. And hopefully they'll help them know more about Jesus and how to live that out, right? And so that's basically what I do, right? And hopefully that process repeats itself, right? That I disciple somebody and they disciple somebody, right? And they disciple and on and on and on, right? Jesus said, go and make disciples, right? That's a multiplication table, not a addition table. And so hopefully that expands and grows, yeah. Right? But I don't just meet people where they're at and leave them there, right? And Jesus doesn't just meet us where we're at and leave us there. But he gives us the grace to grow, right? And he encourages us to grow, right? He challenges us to grow, right? And so I want to first establish really what just the relationship right off the bat. But let's go to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And I just want to show you this thing about Lazarus real quick. Luke chapter 10, yeah, verse 38. And if you want, you can get your Bibles out, your phones, your scrolls, stone tablets. I make that joke at Chi Alpha almost every week. Doesn't get a laugh. But I keep making it. No, I appreciate it. Nobody laughed in here, too, which is awesome. It makes you feel like home, So Luke chapter 10, verse 38, there she is. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Mary was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Right? So even here, right, nod to earlier, abiding with the Lord, right, spending time with him, right? That is, anyways. So Jesus meets Mary and Martha, right, has dinner in their house. You go over to John chapter 11, and I just want to show you guys this, because I was reading this the other day, and I read the story of Lazarus multiple times. I heard people talk about it multiple times, but I was, I feel like the Holy Spirit showed me this the other day. While I was reading it, just something that kind of stuck out to me. John chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." All right, get down to verse 3. Oh, sorry. And yeah, so Mary's sister Martha, down to verse 3. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. So sometime in the middle of Jesus, or either at their house or when meeting Mary and Martha, and sometime in this journey, right, he meets Lazarus. We don't see a lot about Lazarus, but yet he's the one that Jesus loves. And isn't that so precious that, man, we are all the one that Jesus loves, right? John the Beloved, the guy that wrote this book, right, that he even wrote this down, the one that Jesus loved. He thought, he was like, I'm the one that Jesus loves. I'm John the Beloved, which is so cool. Such a transformational shift between, you know, Deadliest Catch John, right, Son of Thunder, fisherman, burly guy, being, oh, Jesus, you know. Like, it, and that's what happens when we come to know Jesus, is he radically transforms us, really, into who we were created and who we were meant to be. But anyway, so I'll continue on. I said this was going to be short, and we'll see what happens. So verse 14, so the story goes on. So they told him plainly, right? Jesus says, we got to go see Lazarus. He's asleep. Let's wake him up. The disciples are like, well, if he's asleep, he'll just wake up on his own, Jesus. And he's like, no. Verse 13, Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Right. And so Lazarus dies, right? The disciple, or the one that Jesus loved. Mary and Martha are obviously upset about this. We get to verse 33. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He said, where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. All right. Jesus goes on to raise Lazarus from the dead, and most of us, you know, are aware of that. But we see that Jesus, the way that Jesus reacts to Lazarus passing, the way that Jesus reacts to his sickness, the way that Jesus reacts to the family of Lazarus, the community there of Lazarus, right? He weeps, right? He weeps. He's troubled in his spirit, right? That someone he cared about is gone. And so, man, someone that we would meet and then someone pass away, you know, I don't know if we would react the same way Jesus did, right? That he's troubled in spirit, right? That he's trying to ask questions. How is this? How is that, right? And then he weeps, right? And so Jesus, he has this uncanny ability to meet people just where they're at, right? And not only that, not only meet people just where they're at, right? But he often challenged them to grow, right? He challenged them to become who they were meant to be, right? And he gave them the grace to do it. Lazarus wasn't meant to be dead yet, right? And so Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, right? He challenged him, come on out, right? And through his grace, right, and his mercy and his power, that Lazarus was able to become who he meant to be. And now, you know, that might, you might think, and that sounds like a stretch, but it's not an isolated incident, right? Right? The woman at the well, right, who had, Jesus is like, you got five husbands, and the one you're with is not the one you're with right now. But know what he also said? He says, out of your belly, rivers of living water, right? He says, I'll give you, if you knew who I was, you would ask a drink from me, and I would give you water, and you would never thirst again. Yeah. Right? And completely transforms this woman's life, right? He gives her grace in this time, because if he actually knew that information and he was a religious leader of that day, they would have stoned her, right? They would have, you know, drug her out, you know? And not only that, but she was a Samaritan woman at that, yeah. Right? Or the woman caught in adultery that was brought before him, caught in the act. Man, what an embarrassing, like, just traumatic, awful situation. And by his grace, he saves her. But you know what he says after? He says, neither do I condemn you, grace. Go and sin no more. Or go and leave your life a sin, right? A challenge to become who she was meant to be. And he gives her the room to do it. Right? Every single one of the disciples, right? He met them where they were at, right? Paul, the Christian killer, right? He met Paul really where he's at and kind of knocked the slobber off him, off his horse, you know, blind him with light stuff. But he gave them the grace to grow. And so so what I want to ask today is, can we meet people where they are at, right? Whether they're on the other side of the political spectrum, right? Whether they're on the other side of the street, whether they're on the other side of 6 feet. Can we meet people where they're at, and can we give them room to grow, right? The grace to grow, the room to grow. And can we challenge them to grow? Right? Can we challenge them to become who they're created to be? All right, I'm not justifying sin, right? I'm not getting rid of grace, right? I'm trying to find that sweet spot in between, and I've been trying to find that for years, right? Being a campus minister, right? Maybe I was too hard on. Maybe I wasn't, maybe I didn't challenge them enough. Maybe I didn't show enough grace, right? I'm not saying that I'm perfect at this, but I want to be able to do this, right? And I want to challenge all you guys to do this as well. An example of this is I had too many ex-girlfriends, and Brooke knows that, so it's not a surprise to her. But my mom loved every single one of them, which was hard for other people to do. And she met them where they were at, and she gave them the grace to grow, but challenged them to do better, right? To challenge them to become who they were meant to be, to stop doing, what they were doing and to become better, but gave them the grace and the mercy to do that. All right, I believe the gift of mercy, I believe the gift of teaching, apostleship, right, pastoring, right? Those are all spiritual gifts, right? And I believe that God gifts us individually for the benefit of the whole body, right? And I also don't think that God can just give one person one gift and not give it to anybody else, or give one person one gift and not other gifts, right? And the Bible tells us to eagerly desire the greater gifts. And so I encourage you to keep desiring, the greater gifts, and for God to use you in different ways as the situation calls for it, right? But the thing that's not a spiritual gift is love, right? Love is not a spiritual gift. Right? And so, love, looking at scripture, love is a command, right? What is the greatest commandment? Love. New commandment I give you, love. Right? And our love, right? Our love is just, it's not something we just come up with. It's not something that was created in our minds or created on, Hallmark movies or whatever. But love is our response to God's love for us. Right, the Bible says that he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, right? While we were yet sinners, yeah, the Jesus died for us, right? And so we have to choose to love people, right? And whatever that way plays out, but we have to choose to do that. Right, we have to choose to meet people where they're at. We have to choose to go into the places that are uncomfortable for us, or to enter the conversations that are uncomfortable for us. We have to choose to meet people where they're at. And instead of immediately attacking the person, right, or telling them, how messed up they are, even if they are, we have to give them the room to grow. Because if we don't, then they're just going to be in pain, right? If you don't give something the room to grow, then it's going to cause it pain, right? And not only pain then, but pain later, right? There's this thing in ancient Chinese culture where they would foot bind feet, right? And they would bind the feet, and yes, that would cause pain while they're growing, but it would also cause pain later in life, because you take that binding off, the bones aren't in the right place to support the body. And so we have to give people the room to grow. Right? We have to see people as God sees them, and And we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, yes. And so let us ask, God, man, help me to see people like you see them. All right? Not only who they are now, but who they will become. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Who they were created to be. Not just who they were, not just what they've done, but who they've been created to be, right? Image bearers of God. Yeah. And so this will help us do this, right? This is, this is to, we'll say Pharisee, but in our culture it would be the know-it-all perfect Christian. And I think this is, we all get like this sometimes, and so this is not, but this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. He says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Romans 12:2, "For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Right? We have room to grow as well. Right? And I think the reason that we have such a hard time meeting people where we're at, where they're at, is because we think we've already made it. Right? Right? If we stop being teachable, we stop being disciples. Right? We need to be at the feet of Jesus, learning always from him like Mary. Right? And to not think that we have arrived, because there is always room to grow. And if we can't see that we need room to grow, right, that we have places to grow, then how are we supposed to see that in others? And so let us not think too highly than we ought, right? Let us get the plank out of our own eye before we get the speck out of somebody else's eye. And so that's all I have to tell you guys today is, you know, and challenge you is, man, to meet people where they're at, to give them the room to grow, but also to challenge them to grow, to become who God created them to be, right? And you know, and that's a tricky balance, but I believe that if we're doing this together, I believe that if we're, you know, allowing ourselves to be teachable, allowing ourselves to be humble in the process, then I believe that we can grow, and I believe we can help others to grow as well, right? We're not going to get it right every single time, but maybe we'll get it right sometimes, right? And the more that we do it, the more that we'll learn, and the more we'll be able to minister to people, the more we'll be able to serve people, the more we will be able to love people. All right, and so I do this in Chi Alpha, and Beth, can you come play some keys? I do this in Chi Alpha. I often give, you know, some time of prayer and reflection and things like that, just like you guys do on Sunday mornings. But during this time of prayer and during this time of reflection, I wanted to challenge you guys to do two things. So if you're a follower of Jesus, right, if you've given your heart to the Lord, I want you to honestly pray right now for the Holy Spirit to help you meet people where they're at and to care deeply for them. Right? I want every single one of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, to pray that. Say, God, will you help me meet people where they're at? Right? Because we're gonna have room to grow in one of these areas, whether it be showing people grace, whether it be showing people mercy, whether it be challenging them, whether it be just seeing where they're at, just seeing who they are, just seeing past everything that's on the outside, seeing everything that the world sees, seeing everything that other people see. But God, would you help us to see what you see in these people? All right, and if you don't know the Lord this morning, right, this is the second thing. If you don't know the Lord this morning, God is meeting you right where you are. Right where you're at. He meets you right where you're at. Wherever you've been, wherever you've done, whatever people think you are, he meets you right where you're at. He weeps for you when you're hurt. All right, and he wants to rejoice with you in life. So John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And so if you believe that this morning, I just want to ask you, man, you can do it in your seat. You can come up and receive prayer. And I'll just kind of stand up here and hang out for a little bit, or you can meet me after service. But if you don't know the Lord this morning, man, I want to encourage you to know him. Man, he knows you, and he's meeting you. Would you meet with him this morning? God, we thank you. Lord, would you help us to meet people where they're at? God, help me. God, help me to be teachable. Help me to not think that I'm hot snot, Lord. Help me to come out. Come to you humbly. Help me to come to others humbly, Lord. To weep with them, Lord, to rejoice with them. Lord, to meet them right where they're at, to give them the grace to grow. Right? And would you give them the ability to do that, Lord? God, that we can water, we can pull up weeds, but God, you cause the growth. God, as we meet people where they're at, would you meet them as well? And they would become who they're meant to be. Yes, Lord. God, for anybody who doesn't know you this morning, Lord, man, I just ask that you would just radically just meet them in this moment, Lord, and that they would know you. That they would know you, God. We love you, God, and we thank you in Jesus' name.